Nun hey vav. Yishu Hashem bihi matzo, kira'u biyoso karov. Now the first thing, before we go any further, that calls out immediately is a question. What do you see as being the question? Not necessarily so much of a question of translation, but more of a question of conceptually. Dirshu Hashem, drosh means to search. Right? To search. For instance, in the Chumash, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, returning a lost item, a person should hold on to the item ad drosh achicha oso, until your friend comes searching for it, as if he has to bring you simanim, etc. Or the very idea of drash. What is drash? Drash means I'm searching for a deeper meaning, the drosh. Or by the seir chatos, in the time when Nadav va'Abihu died for bringing an ish zara in Mishkan. Remember that correctly, right? And Parsha Shmini, the two sons of Aaron died because they brought an inappropriate korban on the eighth day of Miluim, and then some of the korbanos afterwards were not eaten by Aaron and his sons because they were in the state of what is known as aninus. They had just lost one of their close relatives. So it says the seer Moshe was doresh. Where is it? So drash, right, is the search, to look out, to seek out, etc. And it said even drash in terms of understanding, perush on sukim in the Torah Shebichsav, the drash is to search for a deeper meaning. But this pasuk has a problem in it. Dirshu Hashem, search out for Hashem, behimatzo, where he is found. Okay, Hashem is everywhere, right? Uncle Moshe taught us that, right? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, right? Because there's right? You don't need to look for Hashem where he's found. What does it mean where he's found? Behimatzo. Kira'u biyoso karov. Call out to him when he is close. Wait a second, isn't that a non sequitur? What do you call it? Isn't that Karov Hashem Lechol Karov? Lechol Asher Yikruv MS? Isn't Hashem close to anyone who calls to him? So what does it mean, Yeshua Hashem Behimatso? To search for Hashem Behimatso, and Kirou Beyoso Korov, call out them when he's close. He's always Matsui, and he's always close to whoever calls him. So the pasuk itself is an enigma. In the process of trying to answer the question, we'll see how different Mefarshim is the word answer the question, Chazal and some Mefarshim HaTanach, as well as others. In the process of understanding how they're Mefarshim words, we also will learn a certain amount of concepts that are very relevant to where we're holding right now, which is just prior to Rosh Hashanah, just prior to what we call to the Yom Ha'Rayim, to Aseres Metshuva, etc. Let's take a look. Let's take a look first at the shot that the Malbim says. The Malbim Derech Agav, for those of you that aren't familiar, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the idea that the Malbim, when it comes to explaining every single nuance, and every single, as it were, every single verb, every single noun, he's never willing, as it were, to go with the idea that things are repeated in parallel phrases for the purpose of accentuation. In other words, when you find amongst the Rishonim, this is perfectly understandable, perfectly admissible, as it were. And the Rishonim oftentimes, even Ezra, the Radan, they will say over and over again that this concept mentioned in the second half of the pasuk is the same as the first half of the pasuk, just a different phrase is used, a parallel phrase, in order to accentuate the idea. The Malbim will never go with that, right? He'll never go that. He has a very scientific, if you use that, I don't mean to say that they're not scientific, but he has a very scientific approach, and that could be also born out of the fact that part of what he's trying to do, the Malbim, much of his writings was in to show the maskilim of his generation that all of the drushos of Chazal, for instance, were built upon Adnei Paz, on golden founding stones, as it were, of Dikduk, and to show that there's nothing which is just, hyperbole within the mikra, as it were. Everything has a very specific idea. It has a whole dictionary, as it were, Sefer HaKarmel, of synonyms, and how they're not exactly synonyms, right? explaining over and over suso and simcha, etc., things of that nature. So fine. So let's see first how he deals with this pasuk. Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo. Says the Malbim. See the first citation on page 1. What's a lomar? Aval ha-Yeshua b'chlala tluya b'tshuva u'maisin tovim. V'lachein dirshu Hashem. In other words, we have to remember that this parak in the Navi is spoken in the context of when Hashem will bring Yeshua, when he will bring the Gula. So it's dependent, says the Malbim, yeah, upon tshuva u'maisin tovim. V'lachein dirshu Hashem. What does it mean? Dirshu Hashem. Says the Malbim, Tchila yesh lecha lizoher shelo tazov es Hashem latzeis mibeischa klal. He uses the metaphor of two people with a relationship. And it's not just b'mikra here that he uses. We know that b'chlal, all of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always written in terms, both in Shir HaShirim and other places, as the relationship between a husband and wife. That's the way it always is. That's the way it always is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like Kechasan, right? At Man Har Sinai, Ha'itra like Kala at Man Har Sinai. And so too, this theme, it finds itself, yeah, spoken about in both Shir HaShirim, as I said, and throughout the Navi. Just the Shir HaShirim. Tzena u'ena b'no Sion b'melech Shlomo. Go out, O daughters of Sion, according to the nation's rule, and see ha'melech Shlomo, melech shahashalom shalot, referring to the Bo Shalom. Yeah? Send men of nose to Yom Shalom, Ba'atara, Shi'itra Lo'imo, with the crown that he received, yeah? Kabiyachol, from his mother, which is a discussion in its own right, yeah? B'yom Chasunaso, U'b'yom Simchas Libo. Yom Chasunaso, the day of his wedding, this is Rashi there in Shir HaShirim, Yom Matan Tov. Yeah? Yom Simchas Libo, the day of rejoicing of his heart, is the eighth day of the Miluim, the day of the Chanukas HaMishka. This metaphor finds itself many places in Tanakh. And here the Malbim comes and says, he says, that's the context within which the pasuk says over here, Dirshu Hashem b'imatzo. Tchila yesh techa lizar. First and foremost, you should be aware, you should be wary, you should be careful. Shlo tazov es Hashem latzeis mi beischa klal. Maintain your relationship with Hashem so he shouldn't leave your house. He shouldn't leave your house. Dirshu Hashem. Keep the relationship vibrant. Don't let things get to a point, God forbid, of breaking. And that is, don't sin. Sin is the unfortunate negative fiber, right? Which causes disintegration of our relationship with the Rabbon Shalom. First, Yishu Hashem b'imato. Search for him. Always maintain to keep a deeper relationship with him. Don't let sin come into the question. Dirshu es Hashem, bakshu fanav tamid, kol zman shu nimtza et lechem. Always search out his face, always try to be in his presence, always try and be in a state of excitement vis-a-vis him while he's with you. Ulam, however though, gam im chatosem, at sheyetze mi'itchem al yedei chatoseichem. If however, you have sinned, and as a result of sin, so we know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, distances himself, right? He distances himself from us. Why? Because we distance ourselves from him. If we move away, if we turn our face from Hashem, so we've created a chasm between us. Even if that situation takes place, and the sin, unfortunately, has come into the system, Hishtagmu lekoro shiyoshuv elechem ba'ol eyozo koro. Call out him while he's still close. That says the Malbim is the chat. Dirshu Hashem v'himatzo. While Hashem, while the relationship is still healthy, search him out constantly. Always try to maintain it as a vibrant relationship. Let's say you've sinned. Then what? Then don't just say give up and say that's the end of it. Kira'u b'yoso korah. Call out to him while he's still close. While you haven't distanced himself that far, too far. K'mosha ohavo. Yotza v'ito b'chari'ah. Imagine in your mind's eye, like what he called, like the beloved, as it were, is leaving the house, yet in a huff, because of what took place in the house. Yotza v'ito b'chari'ah. Af shekoro sh'yashu v'eilav teichet. Ve'yomamti mach yisrachei ba'ohem. A person who really wants to maintain the relationship, he doesn't say, alright, fine, who would he call it? Who means the bad rubbish? Or what do you call it? I can't be bothered. Or forget about it, it doesn't matter, or it's too late. He doesn't give up. He says, quickly, no, please, come back. just as they went out the door. Don't let it get to that. If it gets to that, don't come back. Don't leave me. Etc. Cain, in the second to last line of this first citation of the Malbim, Cain, in Chatasa, if you sin, Shuv Teicher, B'tshuva, immediately go back and Shuva. Lo Tamtin Ad Yom Machar, and don't wait until tomorrow. Uman, however, if let's say you didn't do that, Gam in Chatasa, the Gam in Hirbeisa Lipshah. Even if you sinned, Chet, remember, is always in the context of a shogeg. Vigam yirbeisa lifshoa, even if you added real iniquity, pesha, this is important also to know for Yom and Rai. Chet is the shogeg. Agon is the mazi, you did it on purpose. But you did it on purpose, why? Because I'm spiritually spineless. Right? I can't, my name's Zahara, it's not better of me, I can't listen, da 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 da. But that's an agon. A chet is what for God. Today's Shabbos, right? Okay, man's only forget things like that. But if we really cared, we wouldn't forget. Right? That's the way it is. As my mother Lashon used to tell me, if you really cared, you wouldn't forget. Right? And as difficult as it was for me always to admit it, but she was right. Right? So that's a chet. That's a shogeg. Right? And avon is we do it on purpose. Not because you want to show God who's boss, but because I can't help myself, God. For sure you'll understand, right? I'm spiritually spineless. I am the flat worm of spiritual individuals, right? I total non-coordinate. No, that's not good, that's an avon. And then there's a pesha. A pesha is an intent in showing I'm running the show. No one's gonna tell me how to lead my life, I'm gonna lead my life by the way. Right? This is it. This is what I'm gonna do, that's a pesha. Says the Malbim, in chatasa shuv teichet b'tshuva, v'lo tamtei yomohar. Ulam, gam in chatasa, even if you sin by mistake, chet, the guy in your base of the show, I mean, the worst of that, as it were, committed malicious acts. Achim Nisrakeh Hashem Yimcha Merchak Rav. Even if Hashem is now so far away from him again, because Hashem never distances himself from us. We distance ourselves from him. All that story is punny, right? Let's just stop for a second. It's an important point to remember. Hashem always wants to be made to. He always wants to give to us. He always wants to give to us. We can never subvert his rutzon to give to us. He wants to be mashpia upon us tov. The problem is depending on how we're aligned, that's how we're makabel the tov. So if we turn around, we're not in a position to receive the tov anymore. And what does it become akin to? Unfortunately, sometimes it generates onesh. Just in the same way as if a person has, a cup, a styrofoam cup, and he wants to get some hot coffee out of a samovar, filled with delicious Colombian, fresh brewed, fresh ground, they call it coffee. Yum, right? He's got the cup aligned, he opens up the spigot, he's got a great cup of coffee. Great cup of coffee. He's got the cup tilted a little bit, so he's got some coffee in his cup, and he's got some on his shoes, right? Some on the floor. A little annoying. He's got the cup timely tilted at a 90-degree angle, then what he's got is no coffee in the cup and a big mess all over the floor and all over his clothes. And if he's got it on 180-degree, right, with his hand like this, straight out of Poland, right, with the cup facing down, and he turns on the spigot, then what he's got is a trip to the emergency room. It's all the same coffee. It's all the same coffee. It has the coffee in even Mashpia Tov, or God forbid Mashpia in the other direction. So in the case over here, the person is at work, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was distanced from him. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu distanced from him? He's distanced because we've distanced ourselves. It's fascinating. If we were together when we learned Shmos, it's really fascinating. Paro is called Ha'orev, right? It's called the Orev. Paro, right, it was Osios Paro, the Arizal says, Paro, Pei, Resh, Ayin, Hei, it's also similar as Ha'orev, the nape of the neck. The nape of the neck. All that Hashem wants from us is to be with him panim el panim, face to face. If you have the nape of your neck towards somebody, right, there's no further way, you can't be further away than that, if you can do Magellan style. Right? You just keep on going the other direction. It'll take you 24,000 vertical miles to come back all the way around again. Yeah. So that's the nature of being faced the wrong direction and how that's how we create the distance. But be that as it may, he says, even if a person unfortunately has then compounded his sin, not only did he sin and caused Hashem's presence to leave his house, not only did he not call to Hashem as Hashem was walking out the door, come back! But even more than that, he allowed Hashem to leave, he allowed the distance to become great, and he increased, as it were, the distance by his sins. So what should he do? So look at the next pasuk, right? Yazov Rasha Darkov, Ish Oven Machshavo Sov, V'yashov L'Hashem V'yirachamei V'lokenu Yarbeh L'Sloach. Even the Rasha, even the Ish Oven, right? So that's the way the Malbim reads that verb pasuk. We'll go back to the second pasuk again, but I first want to see different ways that different Mepharshim, and Chazal included, understand this first pasuk, because we all have to deal with the difficulty. What does it mean, Dir Shu Hashem V'yimotz? Oh, Kira'u V'yosav Karo. These seem to be conceptually impossibilities. Hashem is always Matsui. Hashem is always Karov to whoever calls out to him. Explain to the Malbim, what it's speaking about is within the metaphor of maintaining a relationship with Rabbi Shalom. When he's close, don't sit on your laurels. Make the relationship even more vibrant. Add to it. Never, as it were, take it for granted. Never assume it'll continue on its own power. You have to be mosting more and more and more and more. Yeshua should be Matzo. Oh, what happens if you sinned and now he's in the process of leaving Kira'u V'yosav Karo? Call out to him while he's still close. But let's say, not only did you not call out to him when he's close, but you've compounded things, you've committed more errors and more sins, etc. Then what do you do next? Second pasuk will deal with the moment. But let's go back now to the first pasuk and see the different way. Rashi, for instance, says, "Bihivatzo," the second citation, "Kodem gzar din ba'ochu omer lachem darshuni." So Rashi introduces us into the idea that there are different stages, right, in the reaction to sin. There is sin, before Gzar Din, and sin after Gzar Din. Okay? That's what Rashi explains. Let's take a look at the Rambam, and this idea of Gzar Din, before Gzar Din, and after Gzar Din, we'll see, hopefully, in Chazal as well, in just a moment. But first, let's go to the Rambam. Rambam says as follows. In Hilchos Tshuva Perek Beis, Halacha Vav, Apapi Shahat Shuva Batsa'aka Yakel Olam, even though Shuva and Tsa'aka always really work, Yakel, and lose their potent, forever, always potent. Ba'asara Hayomi, Shemin Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim, Iafa Biyoser. Especially during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, they are particularly useful. They work really well, Biyoser. And they're accepted immediately. And this Rambam, how does Rambam deal with it? And this is what Chazal say, really the Rambam is where it's taken from the Gemara. That Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the days of Rosh Hashanah, right? The intermediary days, and then Yom Kippurim, those are days where Hashem is particularly close. Yirshu Hashem b'him matzo. Yirshu Hashem b'him matzo. In other words, an individual has a unique, it's an ishwatzo, it's a unique time. Hashem is more eager to call Yaha. He's more eager to accept the person as tshuva. Essentially what it is that Hashem is saying, listen, I want our relationship to be what he calls to be healthy. During a Aseres Yimei Tshuva, which starts with Rosh Hashanah, during which time period the world is being rejuvenated, being recreated again, because everything within the Jewish calendar is a re-experience of that which took place before. On Pesach, we go out of Mitzrayim again, and Shavuos, we have Kabbalah Sakura again, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, we reenact, we re-experience what transpired on those days as well. So now, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm recreating the world. Start off on the right foot. Do tshuva. The Bali Musa say, Ad Kedei Kach. Bali Musa say, Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, that a person, right, Tzadikim, Gemara says that the Tzadikim, right, and the Rishayim are both Nechtovim and Nechtomim immediately on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, if you are Jot Tzadik Balmor, then Rosh Hashanah, again, this is a big discussion, like, exactly what that means. We'll just take it for face value for the moment. If you're Job Tzadik Gomor, then on Rosh Hashanah, it's all over. You're in. You're in the Book of Life. if you are, you know, Joe Iniquity, right, etc., Joe Sinner, then on Rosh Hashanah, it's all over. Tzaddikim, miyad nechtavim metavim l'alter l'chaim. Rishayim, nechtavim metavim l'alter lev, bubba, right? Beinonim, right, Beinonim, they're pluyim, they're like limbo. They're in limbo, which is, we usually assume that most of us are like that. We're in limbo between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If we do tshuva, right, so then we're nechtavim and nechtavim and on Yom Kippur and l'chaim. If we don't do tshuva, then it's kaputzki for our heroes, right? Or maybe not such heroes. Yeah, etc. So the Balei Musar asked the question, why is it? Why is it? If the guy didn't do tshuva, he should be still in the same situation he was before. He was right in the middle. He was in limbo. He was a half and half. He was a par of hot dog. He was tofu revisited, right? He was neither that bad nor that good. He's in the middle. So just like he was in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and then he didn't, as it were, deserve to get put into either book. So the whole world says to be true, he didn't do anything about it, he still is in the middle. So how come on Yom Kippur, if he didn't do tshuva, right, then all of a sudden we say, finished, that's it, it's all over. So they say, right, and it speaks to this, that Rambam is saying here, why the Sesame Tshuva are unique. Hashem is extending his hand to us. Do it. I'm not just wake up on your own. I'm asking you, come home. I'm inviting you home. And don't do anything about it. That's not just part. When the days of closeness are there, and Rikot and Ravon Shalom says, take advantage of them. Take advantage of them. I'm telling you, Rikot, really, you should come to me. But I'm telling you, I'm extending my hand to you. Do tshuva now. I'm not saying you have the poshim. Hashem extends his hand to us. No. Pull it together. And you don't. That in itself compounds everything you did before. Says the Rambam, that's what these days are. These are days of, right, unique closeness. Hashem is so exciting, Kol Yochol, to use the word terminology. Come home, come home. So the idea of Hashem being of course Hashem is matzoi all the time. Of course he's matzoi all the time, says the Rambam. But the point is that here he's particularly matzoi. Here he'll be very quick to accept your tshuva. Quick, do it now, he's inviting you. Continues the Rambam. Imagine our Mamurim B'yachim. This is all being said with regard to the individual. Aval Zibur, Kozman Shosim Tshuva B'tzoakim B'leiv Shalim B'nenim Shneamar Mik Hashem Eloheinu B'chol Koreinu Eilav. So we see over here the Rambam tells us by and by that there are two systems. There's a system of the individual and a system of the community. When the community has Tshuva, that's always immediately accepted. Such an incredible kiddush Hashem is generated when the community does tshuva. When an individual does tshuva, so his tshuva is also accepted. But it requires a what we call more, as it were, strength to get his tshuva to be accepted. During the Aseret Yemei tshuva, when each individual, as it were, the world is being recreated, each individual, as it were, takes on a particular, a unique quality, he becomes like a tzibur. Just like a tzibur, their tshuva is always accepted when they do their tshuva. So too, during the Aseret Yemei tshuva, a person really does tshuva, their tshuva says, fine, I take it. Yeshua Hashem be matzah. So we've seen so far, right? Two major pirushim. It's a little Rashi also, but two major pirushim in terms of how to deal with difficulties. The bayot in the lashon in this first pasuk. What does it mean? Yeshua Hashem be matzah. Kiro will be also karo. So the Malvin Hackworth laid out an entire system. Yeshua Hashem be matzah. Keep the relationship vibrant. It's messed up. Call to him before, as it were, the gap becomes too wide. And even if you allow it, unfortunately, you're not really allowed, but you've created a much broader, much wider gap than you should have. All the Malvin is there. The Rambam goes to the Derech HaChazal. Yeshua Hashem being matzo. Oh, Hashem is always matzo. Hashem is always karo. Individuals have a unique opportunity during a Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Hashem is particularly is there for them, wanting, expecting, anticipating them to do tshuva. The tshuva is accepted much more quickly. The Aras Vash. Yaros Vash, further, Rav Yaros Vash is Rav Yonos and Apeshitz. Rav Yonos and Apeshitz, right, is very, very, I mean, what? I mean, in terms of the world of Jewish scholarship, he's like, way up there. The time of the Achronim, but what about just an, he's an unbelievable individual, both in the world of Nigla and in the world of Nistar. A tremendous Kabbalist, and not just tremendous, but a tremendous Halachist, right? Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. Unfortunately, right, his name is most strongly associated with, yeah, with the tremendous machlokes that took place in Europe between Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right, and Rabbi Yosef Apeshitz, and that they were those who cast aspersions upon Rabbi Yosef Apeshitz, that he was following the path of Shabtzi Tzvi. This is all what we call it afterwards, what we call it debunked, as it were. Yeah, something by history, for sure. But be that as it may, unfortunately, that was a very unfortunate event. He was also very, very, very clever, very clever person. Because of that, oftentimes the princes and the lords of the manor of the times were very much taken with him because he was such a brilliant individual. I just mentioned one story just to get a picture of who he was. He used to have the favor of this particular, I don't know if he was a baron or a prince or a lord or a dudu, I don't know what he was. He was some big mucky muck, what he called, he had a lot of money and power, etc. He was ruling some sort of fiefdom. So he was very much in favor in his eyes because he was so brilliant. Not because he was Jewish, because he was so brilliant. He couldn't help himself, he just loved him. So on the other hand, of course, he had to have a good relationship with the local bishop, right? The prince, that is, right? He had to have a good relationship with the local bishop. And as you all know, right, part of the job description of every bishop, right, is to hate Jews. That's part of his job description. So one time they were gathered around the table, right, and the Naniach, let's say, what he called the prince, was seated over here, and Yonatan Apeshitz was seated over here, and the bishop, right, the rabid Jew hater, was seated over here. And the bishop turns to Rabbi Yonatan Apeshitz, and he says, my lord, he says, what separates a Jew from a dog? Nice guy, right? That's what he called that. So the bishop, that's the bishop's job. That's what he learned, right? He says that to the prince, you know, right, with a twinkle in his eye, a smile on his face. He's now baited with Yonos and Apeshitz, right? Helpful to come up with some, what he calls, some sort of statement that he can, you know, cause him to take into public debate, etc. He turns to the prince and says, yes, my lord, what is just separates a Jew from a dog? And the prince turns to Yonos and Apeshitz. He says, Apeshitz, what do you have to say? He says, it's very simple. It's a table. Right? Because he was sitting here, and the bishop was sitting here. He says, what separates a Jew from a dog is a table. Okay. He was really fast on the uptake. Really, really fast. Very fast. And anyway, he says as follows. This is a very interesting thing. He says, V'ine kvar amarnu b'drushat kodet. Ki Rosh Hashanah hu kol shana ascholas ha-briyah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Briyah, as we said. Yom Haras Olam. That's what we'll say on Rosh Hashanah. Yom Haras Olam. The world, as it were, it's very interesting. Hayom Haras Olam. Haras Olam of Heroyim. Heroyim. Right? So what has it? Heroyim. It's birth. The fact is, really, we know that, as the Ram tells us, the world wasn't created on Rosh Hashanah. The world was created on Chaf Hei El. Really, man was created. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean? Hayom haras Allah. Haras is said. That's pregnancy, not birth. The idea being, yeah, with the creation of man, just as pregnancy, as it were, has within it development and more development. Cells, as it were, divide, and the embryo becomes, as it were, more recognizable, and then you go through different stages where you go with the fetus, the development of the fetus, until eventually, then there's what we call the throes of birth, right? There's the throes of birth, right? Of what we call the labor pains, and then transition, and then birth. Then birth. That's the story of the world. With the creation of man begins, as it were, the development of the world. What man will do, what man won't do, how he will succeed, how he will fail. This all becomes part, as it were, of what ultimately leads to Chavlei Leda, as the Navi oftentimes refers to the time period prior to the coming of Mashiach, as Chavlei Leda, Chavlei Mashiach, Chavlei Mashiach, the birth pangs before Mashiach comes, and then birth. We enter into a whole new world, the world of the Geula. He says, Ki Rosh Hashanah kol shana haschalas avriyah. Every Rosh Hashanah, is a Yom HaRas Olam. Right? We stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it says we're renewing the contract on the world. And now the question is, right, which direction are you taking? How is this Heroyon, where is it going to lead to? Where is this pregnancy going to, what is it going to lead to? What is your part in it going to be? How do you see yourself? How do you present yourself before Hashem? Yom HaRas Olam. Just as in the creation, right? Just as in creation, it's a fascinating point. In creation, we know, let's step back for a second, we know that in all of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is what is known as His Orus Dilatata, right? In other words, the Hisorus, that which we awaken ourselves, Tato means down, like Lamata, Hisorus de la Tato, and Hisorus de la Elo. Hashem responds, what Hashem does, how we respond. Under normal circumstances, the expectation is that we have to take the first step. That's part of the rules of Bechira. Take the first step, and then Hashem will help you. Peacefully Pesach, open for me a portal, a Pesach, kechudo shel machat, like the point of a needle. V'ani aftach lachem, and I will open for you in response. Pesach, Kibisko Shalulam, like the broad entrance way into the front part of the Beis Hamikdash, was a very wide door. Peacefully Pesach, Kechuto Shalmachat, Vaniyaftach Lachem Pesach, Kibisko Shalulam. I will open for you, as it were, an incredible thing, but you gotta start, do something. Do something, start, and then Hashem in turn will respond. That's the way it ordinarily is. But since during Rosh Hashanah, right? As we said before, every part of the Jewish calendar is a re-experiencing of those events. It's not just from a historical point of view, oh, right, yeah, it took place. It's the same thing as the Rambam said, let's say, like, about Pesach, for anyone who gets lost in the roundabouts. The Rambam says, Chayv am laharos esatmo hilu yotzem Mitzrayim. He has to show himself, or as Mishnah says, Chayv am laharos esatmo hilu hu yotzem Mitzrayim. So this is happening all over again. So too, at Rosh Hashanah time, we are, as it were, the contract of the world, Hashem is the contract, the world is being recreated. Yom HaRas Olam, man now, is being placed, as it were, in the embryonic stage again, not on a physical level, in a, what do you call it, in this amniotic sac of who is he going to become? Who is he going to become now? Who will he be? So just as in the creation of the world, there was no action on our part, in general, a reaction on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was just pure hashpa milamala. There wasn't any bria to react. There wasn't any bria to initiate, I should say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to initiate. Since the nature of the world is that on Rosh Hashanah time, we're going back over the creation of the world, that means it has to be, as it were, a unilateral act. There has to be some unilateral act on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, that's why, when the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we will be margish. The in came the yud yimei tshuva, the second line of the citation from Yaros Rash. The in came the yud yimei tshuva, ma'orer osama b'tshuva, bli his orus dilamata klau. He takes the first step. Even if we don't take a step, he'll take the first step. Rakhu ma'orer osama ke'en ma'isa b'reshit, just like just akin to ma'isa b'reshit, shayya ketali Yisrael is the word. It's the initial state on the part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's as though he's putting upon us tal shel kiyah, what to do to resuscitate the dead. That's what he's doing to us. He's awakening us. There's Hashem behimatzo, and Hashem too is proffering himself before us. He's bringing himself close to us. Hello? He taps us on the shoulder. Shehu mamtzi atzmo lanu, teram kareinu elav. He brings us up, and he also deals with the question, what does it mean Hashem behimatzo? Hashem is always matzo. Hashem is always found. What does it mean behimatzo? he, as it were, he steps towards us first during Yom Tzedek Shuv. Unlike the rest of the year, he'll also be there for us, but we got to start. And if we don't start, that's our problem. So he says, Yom Tzedek, he takes the first step forward. But Adarav, on the contrary, who nitza mikodem lo'orer libeinu l'tshuva, he comes to awaken us to what he calls a tshuva. L'chein, in adam yiken l'libo, if a person will pay attention, yiken l'libo, pay attention, yargish l'libo, he'll feel in his heart, tumim, always, v'yud yamim elu, during this 10 days of tshuva, ruach is orus l'tshuva v'yiras Hashem. It can be very subtle. It doesn't mean necessarily it's going to be what he called years of ringing in his ear all the time. Go return, repent, right? You'll burn, etc. Right? Well, doesn't he got to be to hear what he called the call of somebody from Augusta, Georgia, right? Ringing in his ears, yeah? But if a person is sensitive enough to be margish, that what he called them in a shamayim, they're being ma'ori. Even if he involves himself in other things, he becomes a libo always worth the deep, deep beating of his heart will always have some relationship to tshuva. Why? Because Hashem is being ordered. But who yeah, has broken the order of son of the Yom Eglah, the tshuva b'li hachonet l'mata. He's being order us without any requirements or any requisite on our part that we take the first step. Therefore, this brings back to the Baal Musa said before, since Hashem is taking the first step, how can we say, nah, nah, now, I'm too busy, I don't have time, I don't have any clock, really, bug off, leave me, right, call it, it's so much easier to go back to sleep. Hashem is extending his hand to us. He's extending his hand to us. So far, right? You've seen, as it were, right? Perish and Malden, Yishrashim, Yimatzah, everybody's having to deal with the same problem. But along the way, each answer is an answer that, so to speak, hashtagably, right, is a world unto itself. The Malden, the Rambam, right? Rambam, the Karas Bash, here's the name. Let's take a look. Take a look at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Right? The next citation down. The citation from Rosh Hashanah, we've already referenced it before, but it will be, I think, a particular import for us in the thesis of Sadak that we'll do in just a moment. Says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Amar Shmuel Bar Inya, Shmita Rav, Minayim L'Gzardin Shal Tzibur She'eno Nechtam. Notice, how is Nechtam, what does Nechtam mean? Right? Yeah, Hatima is a signature. Ksiva, right? In the world of documents, of Jewish documents, of marriage documents, of Ksubas, of Gitin. There's the Ksiva, there's the writing, and there's the Chasima, the signing. So the Gemara asks the question, how do we know the Gzar Din of the Tzibur is Ino Nechtam? It's never signed. Asks the Gemara, Ino Nechtam? What do you mean it's not Nechtam? It's the Gzar Din of the Tzibur. It's never signed, Mark Steve. After all, it's written, Nechtam? Notice how is the word written in the pasuk in Yirmiyah? Nechtam aboneich lefanai. It's not written with a ches. It's written with a chok. It's not a typo either. It's not an editing issue, right? That's the way it's written in the pasuk. Nechtam aboneich lefanai. Nechtam there is miloshon keter. It's a stain. Nechtam aboneich lefanai. Says the Navi. Hashbog tells the Navi to say to Bnei Israel, Nechtam, your avon, your aver is Nechtam, is deeply stained before me. Says the Gemara, no, what I meant to say, not that it's never signed, because it is sometimes. Ela apal gav she Nechtam nikro. even though it's been signed, it could be nikra, it could be torn. Shenema answers the Gemara, Kashem Elohim, me Kashem Elohim, who is likened to the Lord our God, the whole Koreinu Elov, whenever we call out to him. This is making reference to that which we saw before in Rama. A tzibur, whenever they decide to do tshuva, right? Their tshuva is accepted. The Hatsiv asks the Gemara, oh, what do you mean? Whenever they do tshuva, the tshuva is accepted. Doesn't it say, Dirshu Hashem b'nimatzo? Oh, you see, this is the source of the Rambam. It says, Dirshu Hashem b'nimatzo, that there are unique times when Hashem is close to us, not always. The Gemara, awesome, there we're speaking about the Yochid. The Pasuk, Dirshu Hashem b'nimatzo, is speaking about the Yochid. Hocha b'tzibur. Here we're talking about the tzibur. Amos, when is this take place? Amar Rabba Rabua Elu Aseres Yomi Shemin Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So this is the source of the Rambam. Rambam says that the tzibur always has the capacity to turn towards Hashem, and Hashem will never, as it were, repulse their tshuva. The individual, he has to pull out all the stuff. During Aseres Yomi Tshuva, his tshuva is uniquely, right, accepted, quickly accepted. Doesn't mean he should do a sloppy job of it then, but he has many more gates open to him then. Okay, I'm going to skip the Greek word, the Meshech Chachmas, because I'd like to do some more, right? Just if you don't mind, we'll just read the last two lines of the Meshech Chachmas, because I don't get lost in the roundabouts. If you look at the next section, the end of the last two words of the third to last line of Meshech Chachmas, Tirshu Hashem Yimato. In other words, says the Meshech Chachma, he explains the Pasuk differently. Dirshu Hashem b'hi matzo. To search out Hashem when he is found, because Hashem is the one who is your baldin. In other words, when you're over an Avera, b'in Adam l'mokol, it's only between you and Hashem. He's there, he's called Yochel, he says, I'll be there in the boardroom, search me out, and we'll take care of everything, we'll do tshuva. Kira ubioso koro. Call out to him when he is close. Negi should be adam lechaveros. Who ain habaldin. In other words, they report the two litigants in Ben Adam, or Makom Averis, the word is just the individual and Hashem. In Avera, Ben Adam lechaveros, Hashem is koro, he's close. But he says, I'm not there for you, right? You ask all the whole problem. It's not enough just to come to me. I'm koro, I'm close. In other words, after you felt dealing, finish dealing with your fellow man for having stolen from him, for having embarrassed him, for having maligned him, for having hurt him with words, for having hurt him in deed. After you've done that, I will be karol. I'll be standing there, now you can turn to me, and Hashem, for your part, you forgive me as well. So that's the way the Meshech Chachma deals with two parts of us. Yes?
Why doesn't it come first?
Because he's meant to talk about both. In other words, both Ben Adam and Makom, that's Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo. Just search for Hashem b'himatzo, right? Where he's willing there, we can forgive you, Ben Adam and Makom, take care of that. Kira'u b'yosakorov, it's also going to be during this time period as well, but over there, he's not saying, I'm matzo if you come to me, I'm karov, I'm close. Why? Because there's something else. I'm not 100% matzo if you, I'm not findable as it were by you. Why? Because there's another prerequisite before you come to me in trying to get rid of the Avera Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Every Avera Ben Adam L'Chaveiro has two components to it. It has the man-to-man component, but it also has the man-to-God component. In the man-to-man, deal with that. Then come to me, I'm already standing waiting, what do you call it? I'll forgive you. I'm parole. But don't come to me and say, okay, I just need to deal with you. Right? You punched their lights out. You spoke badly about them. You maligned them. You hurt them with words. You hurt them with deeds. Whatever it is, deal with them. I'll be close by, and you can come to me as well. So that's the way the Meshech Chachma is. But again, it's a long schmooze, and I won't get lost again in the roundabouts. But Tzadok. Tzadok HaKohen. We see say life. Want to speak it out. Relates to this idea of what we saw, that when the Gemara describes the idea of a gzar din, right, being signed, which they use terminology nechtam, nun ches, tough men, they brought the proof from, right, a pasuk that says nechtam avoneich lepanai, where it's written nun chof, tough men. Nun chof, tough men means stain. But sort of says the following situation. Aseret made tshuva, right? Remember, let's think back to the Gemara. What is Aseret made tshuva coming to do? It's coming, as it were, to do for us, for every individual, the same job that the tzibur has always available to them. The tzibur is always able to turn to Hashem and to overturn the nechtam avoneich lefanah. Right? The tzibur, again, what was the Gemara? Let's think back to Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, how do I know that the gzardin of the tzibur is never chatum? It's never signed. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean it's never signed? It is signed. The pasuk says, nechtam avoneich lefanai. It's written, of course, with the chaf, not with the ches. But they understood it as being the same way. And we'll see in just a moment. This is not a word game. Right? It's not a word game. The source telling us that there is a chatimah, there is a signature upon a gzar din, is found in the words of the pasuk, nechtam avoneich lefanai, written with a chaf. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what we meant to say. We didn't mean to say that it's never signed, but that it can be overturned. So the Gemara tells us, right, that legabi the tzibur, here always the status of nechtam avoneich lefanai, can always be overturned. It can always be overturned, as it says in the pasuk, "Mi Hashem Elokeinu, who is like to our, we call our Hashem, who is our God, the Chol Kohen Elav, whenever we call out to Him." And the Yachid also has a status sometimes of Nechtam Avoneich Lefanah, yeah, of where his sin status has been, his Gzardin has been signed, and again. Same makor, same source for that's being signed is from nechtam with chaf, stained. When does the yachid have the ability to undo that? Says the Gemara, "Yishu Hashem b'hi matol kiru b'yosa korav edu aseres made shuva." 10 days of shuva. Says the Tzara. There's things better we do on the outside. The pasuk says in Koheles, "Eis shalat ha'adam ba'adam v'ra'alo." There is a time, sometimes, yeah, in life, where man subjugates another man to his evil, to his detriment. So clearly, on the surface, the Pasha Pshatni, that is, one individual subjugates another individual. And it's obviously to his detriment. But that seems a little bit of, what do you call it, of a little bit too wordy. If you subjugate somebody, of course it's to his detriment. Says Reb Tzara, he says, the deeper meaning in the pasuk is that sometimes a person subjugates himself to a different self, and that's to his moralo, that's to his detriment. In other words, sometimes a person engages in a certain pattern, a certain mode of behavior, and it becomes so second nature to that person that after a while they identify themselves with the person, yeah, that they define through their actions. But they're not indeed that person, they're not really that person. They're not that person at all. Imagine if a person, let's say, we know that the Sefer Chinuch tells us over and over again, "Achrei ha'pu'ulos nimshachem ha'lavavos." The more you do something, yeah, the more your heart is drawn after it. The more you become that way. That's true both in the world of the positive, and God forbid it's also true in the world of the negative. We become accustomed to certain behavior patterns. And after a while, we associate, who am I? Oh, I know who I am. I am, right, the person who's very chutzpahdik to my parents. I am the person who really couldn't care less about this, that, and the next. I am the person who does this, that, or the next thing. Not because in essence that's who we are, but it's because after a while a certain mode of behavior becomes second nature to us, and we begin to think that this is our identity. Says Rav Tzadok, he says, that's the Yeshua Hashem being Matzon. It makes sense when you think about it as well. Since is being recreated, Hayom Baras Olam, man is being recreated during this time period. Man is being recreated during this time period. So, he has an opportunity, as it were, to tap in to who he really is. In a way that perhaps he can always tap into it, but it requires a major, major upheaval on his part to be able to tap into another normal circumstances. To tear away, layers and layers of facades, right? Of false facades, that we present to the world, and worse, that we present to the mirror of who we are, what we're about, what makes me special, what makes me unique. What makes me unique? And this is compounded certainly in the society that we live in. In the society that we live in, right? The society that we live in. If there's not something different on the outside, right? There's not something different on the outside, then there's nothing. Really, there's nothing. And therefore, within that society, within that worldview, so what do you call it? You need money, you need smarts, you need looks, you need power, you need friends, you need something. If you don't have that, you're finito, you're finished. You're finished. But really, where is a person's true essence? The true definition of self. The highest level of a person's spiritual system is referred to as yechido. The highest level of a person's spiritual system is called yechida. Yechida. Yechida, which is individuality. The highest level of a person's spirituality is connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the true litmus test of really what his deepest identity is. But if a person is at work, and people are used to, and certainly we are used to because we live in a generation that fosters it. Unless you went like, it's like, you can't, if you've got, what do you mean you've got a 2-year-old car? What's the matter with you? I mean, do you realize that having a 2-year-old car is like, it's like one step away from death? Anybody call it? You'll evaporate. You'll evaporate. There are studies that show that people implode from not having, what do you call it, from having a 2-year-old car, but sure of it, which has been tested, right, etc. What do you mean? You have, what do you call it? You don't have a Gucci snakeskin slippers, what do you call it, with a special tag on it says that only 5 of these were made in the world, were made from the tail of Slytherin, right? That's it. What do you call it? You don't have that? You're like a nothing, you're like a zero. You should just commit suicide right now because the world is over. The world is over. So not only is it a problem, an age-old problem, but it's a problem in the society that we live in now. It's like, when we look at, they show us pictures of Chinese building, these immense projects in China. So it's not just the idea that they're working so hard, etc., that sends a shiver down our spine. It's like all together doing the same thing, right? Have you considered the possibility that maybe there's more to individuality than just what we look like on the outside? Says Rav Tzadok, he says a very, very important thing. The Yeshua Hashem being Matzon, the unique quality of the Aseres Mitzvah, is because since it's the time of Yom Haras Olam, we have an opportunity, as it were, to tap into the core of that crossroads, as it were, of where I stood once upon a time, right? And we're so full of nature and nurture that it's hard to remember anymore, right? Exactly when we stood at that crossroads. But to bring us to that crossroads of who am I? Who am I? Why did Hashem bring me into the world? Did He bring me into the world only so that I should be able to say I'm different than that person? Or did He bring me into the world so I should be able to say I am who I am? I am Hashem's creation. And as His creation, I'm unique. I have something to give in this world.
has something to give to the world, has something to give to the Rebbe, has something to give to other people.
Nechtam abo necho fanayim.
Eish sholet ha'adam ba'adam l'ra'alo. Sometimes a person subjugates himself.
And the best time to be able to extract himself from that morass,
you can always do it. The best time to be able to extract oneself from that morass
is very necessary to make sure. One more. Mimer. One more mimer on this first pasuk. Yusha Hashem
Dimi Monsi. A beautiful, beautiful word. From the Noam Elimelech. From the Melech of the Shins. If you go to Poland at the end of the year, so you get to see Ratzarek's Kever, you get to see Rikon, you get to see Noam Elimelech's Kever. The Rikon is an unbelievable idea from the Noam Elimelech.
So it's Ru'uyim Advarm L'misha Amra, right? It's so Noam Elimelech like. What does he say? On page 2, just before the hatched line. Right, excuse me for speaking out the entire Tzadik, but I think the service is there.
Zeo Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo. Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo. Again, remember what Tzadik said, the idea basically what came out of him, I should say, is Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo, as creation is coming about, right? Search for Hashem because this is a watershed opportunity for you to be able to find your true self. Right? Okay. Says Noam Elimelech, also the same idea, talking about creation. Zeh Tirshu Hashem Behimotzo. Perush. Dinei Hashem Yisborach. Boruchu. Molecho Aretz Kvodo. Lo Aretz Kvodo. The world really... really, Hashem is the only objective reality. There is no place that is empty of His presence. Leis atar, there is no place in Aramaic. Leis, there isn't atar, a place. Panui minei, that is empty of His presence. Ukishaola beretzono, and when it became His will, Yisbarach, libro et olam, to create the world, laheti begruav, in order to give to His creations, Hayatzorech letzamtzein atzmo. Yet he metzamtzein himself. Kaviyoch. What does this mean to me? What? Contraction. What?
Suffering.
So what do you call the truth is, both of these things, what do they mean? We're talking about something in physical terms, but if Shem, right, thought, so I can't do the contraction, I can't do the separate, but what is... So the Nefesh HaChayim says, right? Nefesh HaChayim says the symptoms to hide. That's the terminology we use. Symptoms to hide. He hides himself. Right? Hide, but they call it again. You got a little more leeway with hide. But anyway, would you really understand what we're talking about? No, but whatever it means, right? He's meant Samson himself. In other words, if Hashem's presence were to flood the Bria, there would be no Bria. Hashem is Eino Belvado. Hashem is the only objective reality. So how are we here? He makes it possible for us to be here by hiding His presence. There's a very fine balance within the world, within which, if we choose, we can find His presence here, if we, right, are committed to finding His presence, or, if God forbid, we can delude ourselves into saying, I don't see anything. I see birds, I see sun, I see leaves. History, well, very interesting. Where is it? Just like Paro said, God, Hashem, okay, what are you talking about? I don't see my book, it's in the old pages. So anyway, that's what we call Hashem, hide His presence. I told us that Samson Atzmo today, it's no smakon laham tzias brua. Chaviyocha Kodesh Baruch Hu for hid His presence, limited His presence, etc., whatever, however you want to explain it, in order to give place for us to be. Amtius book. Kamochain so too, in an analogous fashion for us. So it's other than something atzmo, a person, if he wants to find Hashem, he has to receive. He himself has to receive. Under normal circumstances, we fill our world. Everything, yeah, revolves around us. We're the masters of an egocentric universe. Not necessarily we're all walking around and saying, you know, kiss my toes, right? You know? It doesn't have to play itself out in such a gross fashion. But everything is only relevant and only related to me, myself, I.
Right? How does this speak to me? How do I understand it? How do I fall? And we fill the world. What's most important is, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to succeed? How will I? How? Every sentence has got iron. Zil Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo. This is what the Pasuk means, Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo. You want to search for Hashem Bimatzo, wrote to Lomar, but Ofen Zeh Bimatzo. Just like Hashem gave reality to the world through being Mitzantzen himself. If you want to find Hashem now, the only way you can do it is by being Mitzantzen yourself. Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo, in the same facility, in the same fashion that he gave reality to the world through the process of Mitzantzen. If we recede a little bit from our egocentric world, then we'll be able to find a God-centric world. Just as the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave reality to the world that we're familiar with by receiving himself, so too we. We have to follow the same pattern in order to be able to find the truth of the God-centric world and not live yet in the fantasy of the egocentric world. Another way of dealing with your Shoshana. All from one pasuk. All from one difficulty. What does it mean? Yeshua Hashem Yimatzol. Chazal, Rambam, the Sefshitz, yeah, Meshachachma, Chachada, Nomel and Melech. Everybody's got the same problem. Everybody deals with it in a different way. And they're all true. The awakening is from the words, the answer is that itself. Now let's go back to the Malm, back to the Greek world, leave the world of, as it were, of semi-philosophy here, yeah, right? Go back to the Malbim, back to the words, go to the second pasuk, right? Yazov Rasha Darko, Yishoven Machshav Osov. It says Greek world, it's actually on the second page as well, and you don't even have to look, you have to get the hand out there as well, you've got to see. This is always, you know, in the Vim Rishonim, right? There's always a storyline that connects, you know, what's going on, what's being sold, what's happening, etc. That's what is in the Vim Rishonim, the stories. But the stories obviously are very deep stories, and as we understood. In the Bim Achronim, the challenge is, you know, why is this not free association? Right? Because what does one pasuk have to do with the next pasuk? So it says, Yazov Rasha Darko, let the wicked one leave his derech, Yishoven Machshavosav, and the evildoer his machshavos. Yashov Hashem Yirachameu, and he will turn back to Hashem, and Hashem will love him. The locate of Yahweh is off, and back to the Lord, Yahweh is off, back to his God, Yahweh is off, who is exceedingly interested in forgiving. Kilo machshavos, I machshavos sech, and lo drachechem drachayim, lo machem. Because my machshavos and your machshavos are not the same. Like, huh? What's that to press X? What is the first double? Tshuva, right? Tshuva! Okay, I believe. My way is the thing and not yours. Wait a second, we're working on tshuva. What do you call it? I'm doing tshuva. I want to do tshuva. What has that to do with people? Your ways and not my ways. You go back to philosophy. We did that for a page already. What's going on? Sit in the mouth. Beautiful. Yazov Rasha Darko. You see underneath the hash line there is a mouth in this passage. Yazov Rasha Darko. Gam ha-rasha shibashia harbei. Yish lo takana ha-yadei shi-azov darko. Right? The Rasha. The one who sinned. Sin indeed. Two words, not indeed, right? Sin in deed, right? Yeah. She has known that Lola Bad Harasha Shu Chata Mitzad Hatava. Right? Desire, he couldn't overcome himself. As we said before, he was spiritually spineless, right? We're all familiar with him. He got Ma'isha Oven, but not just he, not just that individual is able to do tshuva, but got Ma'isha Oven. His worldview is askew. An ish oven, not just a person who did mitzvah rishus, but an ish oven, a person of evil doing, of avodah zarah, of minus. But hakfira is filled with apostasy. That person can also turn back. Yesh lo gam kein takana al yesh adov nachshavosav. This person also has the ability to do tshuva by way of abandoning his world, his first world, his false worldview, makshavosar hakozvos, his false thoughts. V'yatzil ha'amim v'Hashem, and he'll begin to believe in Hashem. That's what the pasuk means. Yadol rasha darko, v'yishav en makshavosav. The derech, the way of life, the style of life, is the linchpin of the sin of the rasha. And the ish oven, the person who starts his philosophical outlook on life, his worldview is not on sham. Yeah, it's rotten. So what does he need to do? He has to change his machshavos. Yatzil amin b'Hashem, v'yashov el Hashem, and he shall return to Hashem. Rotaloma, yesh mi yishov el Hashem, v'yitzak shemak yeshu Hashem bori ha'olam, v'zashav me'av. So now the pasuk is spoken to two different types of sinners, the one who sins indeed and the one who sins in what we call it in his worldview. And it speaks about two different types of tshuva. The Ashova Lashem Yirachamei, a person does tshuva me'ava, he wants to turn back to his creator. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the source of everything. Shema Etzem, and Hashem will love him. A person who wants to be Shavim, Ashav me'ava, Vazel Omar, the Ashova Lashem Yirachamei. Hashem will love him, because he's interested in his tshuva in recreating the relationship of love with Hashem. He wants to come home. But we know that that's not the only thing that motivates us to tshuva. V'yesh v'yishashav, fourth line in this Malbim. V'yesh, at the end of the line, v'yesh v'yishashav, there are those people who do tshuva. Rav Mitzay, giras atzmo. He's concerned for himself. Sh'yare sh'lo yanisheyo. He doesn't want to get whooped. Right? Shezen dikru sheshav elokeinu. The second part of the pasuk. Ve'elokeinu. A person he can do tshuva by returning elokeinu to the God Yis Hadin, because he's afraid of the onesh. Hamashkiach b'leinu b'tzachus ligmo v'lano sha'ovdin v'amamri. Elokeinu is the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's mashkiach apanu v'ashkab apratis. He's the one who's the source of our reward. He's the one who's the work who meets our punishment when it's deserved. Nezeh matrega k'tana me'ol. It's much lower matrega. Become a God tshuva zo. This tshuva also is toil. This also helps. Ki arbeh l'sloach. Because Hashem's interest, his concern is to forgive. To patch things up. Gam ha'shogim im ne'ahira yislach ha'bona. So says the Malbim in his first pasuk. The first part of the pasuk addresses two different types of sinners. The one who sins because he is weak, and the one who sins because he is a bit of an apostate. And then it speaks at the end of the pasuk, Yashov el Hashem Yirachameu, speaks to two different forms of tshuva. Tshuva me'ava, Yashov el Hashem Yirachameu, ve'en lokeinu ki arbeh l'siloach, even tshuva me'yiro, and that's also acceptable. Why? Because Hashem is exceedingly interested in forgiving. Further, so now we come to the second pasuk. We said before, there's a non sequitur. What is the tshuva? Two different types of tshuva, right? So we said now, according to the Malbim, we're talking about two different types of sinners and two different types of tshuva. And what is that? Kilo machshav v'chai machshav v'sechem lo drachechem drachai lo machshem. Brilliantly, Malbim says. Brilliant. Kilo machshav v'sai bo l'hashiv lahem l'umas shnei tanos v'hayu tonim al efsharos ha'tshuva. There are two counterclaims, as it were, to the ability to do tshuva. Ha'echad, the first one is, ha'yomim shudaber bilti efshar. It's something that's impossible. B'chok Hashem. How could it possibly be tshuva? Ha'chash Hashem bilti nishtana. If God is totally, if He is perfection in essence, how can it change? Before He couldn't stand me, and now all of a sudden, but He called now and said He likes me. A change. Happened to be tshuva. But eich nomar ki yishtana al achote likas l'rotom. How can you say his relationship with me has gone from one of anger to one of being pleased with me? Doesn't that imply that Hashem is changing? But how can Hashem change? Hashem is omniscient. Hashem is omnipotent. Hashem is unchanging. Unchanging. Mi lo rotom l'rotom. How can you go from non-rotom to rotom? By way of the chote being shav from his faith, turned from his faith. How does that mean? So the first counterclaim to tshuva is a philosophical one. It's an impossibility. And the second one, tana days, second counterclaim is Tanu She'eich Yitakein Es Asher Ives Aydei Mashem Yitzcharek. How can I fix something by regretting it? Because that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is harata. Tshuva is also kabbalah. See, that's a separate issue. I'm not going to do it again. That's fine. Okay, that'll make it here. But how can harata, my regret, how can my regret change anything? How can my regret change anything? Umi shekilkel avodas hamelech, hayitakenes avodas shekilkel mashu zharei tanto. Can a person rectify something by just saying he regrets having done it? The Ming Vaz, right? The famous Ming Vaz. I told you a million times not to play football in the living room. You did. One more time, you broke my Ming Vaz. I searched over northern Manchuria for 35 years to find that Ming Vaz. I bought it from a Hui farmer for what he bought for 16 yen. It was valued by Sotheby's for $875,000. And you broke it. Made it into a mosaic. I didn't want a mosaic. I wanted the Ming Vaz. What have you got to say for yourself? Sorry. How can you say sorry and fix something? It doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. Negat Rishon. So the two claims over here. Tshuva is an impossibility. Does Hashem change? And the second claim is, well, sorry for that, but how can you rectify anything by regret? That doesn't do anything. Neged Arishon Meshiv Lahem. And if you think for a second, those two claims, the first one is, as it were, we're trying to figure out philosophically how can Hashem change? And then we're trying to project, you know, right? How can that be? The second one is a much more existential question. It's a much more experiential one, right? If I were in a situation, if I owned the Ming Vaz, and someone broke my Ming Vaz because, right, for any reason, but certainly because they were being callous, uncaring, etc. And they said to me, sorry, it'll be a really cold day in July when I will forgive them, right? Really cold, right? No way. No way. Yeah, okay, I forgive you, right? May you cast yourself in the nearest parapet, right? Like, who, how can we forgive such a person? Neged Arishon Meshiv Lahem, against the first philosophical claim, the answer is another answer very direct. Lo machshavo zay, machshavo seichem. Ki etli lo yichuyav al yidei zeh shum shinui klal. I don't change. Ve'in lechem hatzogah b'mahus machshavo zay b'klal. You don't understand. There's no reason to try and ask questions philosophically because ki lo machshavo zay, machshavo seichem. We're talking about more than just a quantum leap. There's no connection between my machshavos kaviyachol and your machshavos. We only use the same word, the sacris ozim, but it's two completely different things. Therefore, the question doesn't exist. And in the second one, it says, you're dropping, you're projecting onto me, says Hashem. In the first case, we're projecting. The first one is, where you've got your meerschaum pipe in your mouth, and you say, you're postulating over there. How could the Creator change after all this a fundamental flaw in Hashem's perfection, etc.? Bozo, bozo, what do you call it? You don't understand. You don't understand. But the second one, you say, you know a lot about not forgiving, because we spend the whole of our life not forgiving people for things that they did to us. So that being the case, you say, don't tell me, I don't know about not forgiving. I don't play about not forgiving. So Hashem says, lo drachechem drachai, don't project your baggage onto me. Right? Lo drachechem drachai, ki lefi darki shalav b'mitzos, shenatzati et ha'odam yuchal etakein yivisus yivisoso, ayicharata levad kino shivayar. I don't have agendas like you. I'm not petty like you. I have the capacity to forgive. If you have difficulty forgiving, that's your problem. Lo drachechem drachai. Lo drachechem, first one is to go machshavo sai, machshavo seichem. You're not projecting there, you're just saying, well, Hashem, you don't know anything about me, that's what you're talking about. And in terms of what it called, in terms of forgiveness, how can that rectify Satan? Lo drachechem drachai, don't project your own inability to forgive upon me. That's the way I made the bria. And the person who is harata, like Basil Sharm says, akiras haratzon, ki akiras hamaaseh. When a person removes his ratzon completely,
Okay. Michael?
When a person, let's at least get this point straight, right? When a person, Hashem is beyond time. So there's no difference between what I did yesterday, what I'm doing today, what I'm doing tomorrow. There's no difference. That's true, right? Hashem is beyond time. That's how you have to be here, right? The time is a creation. We live in time. He doesn't live in time. The only connection we have to the sin is not because we committed it at some point in time. The only connection we have to the sin is because our Ratzon is attached to it. Our will is attached to it. That's the only connection. Our Bechira is attached to it. Akira's our Ratzon, Akira's our Ma'aseh. When we remove our Ratzon from it, that was the only thing that connected us to the act anyway. It never was Pogeya or Nogeya in Hashem one way or the other. Right? He's beyond time. The act that a person commits, is his responsibility only because he was boker that way. Because his ratzon was attached to it. Akira's ratzon, he removes his ratzon. That's what charat is. I wish it never had been. It isn't. I mean, how deeply, of course, the person really wishes it had been. If we say sorry like the proverbial child in the football story, right? So it doesn't make Shamna Khabi Brah Khila the Sof Khabi Dvarma Surim Bhagat Vital Pitar Brah Brahti Brahma Latal Brahma Bri Kavar Brahma Rikot right because Baziti Tam and Kokam Baziti called Dvarma Hashumatra Gadalu Ganapti Gaiti because the party goes, the barn brahmatel, brahma shahar, different hanu, different nibble pan record, right? Did it finish yet? So if it's like that, so everything is relevant. Everything is relevant, I should say. The truth is by the scenario, so that the degree of forgiveness also. You're forgiven. Right? But if a person to the fiber of his soul really wishes it wouldn't have been. Why? Because how could I leave, right? How could I leave? How could I turn my back on the one who gave me everything, who gave me my identity, who gave me eternity, who gives me eternity? I want to come home. I wish I'd never come straight so far away from home. Akira Sarotzer, Akira Samas. Yom HaKshav Osai, 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 there's always something to learn, I don't know, further. So, when is Yom Kippur? What day of the week is it? It's
Monday.
So Sunday night, so there probably is not school on Sunday. So the next 2 Sundays, no school. And then after that, there's vacation. Well, okay. So anybody who shows up after that, then we'll do gracious, which means to come with the Sefer, right? Come with the Sefer. Hopefully, in the bookstore, they'll have the booklets. If they don't have the booklets, then we'll go to this story all over again. I'll be wind up photocopying things again. But anybody should bring a Nevi'im Achronim. So this is the Achor gracious. It's from where it was from. It's from whatever, it's from Yeshaya. Even if the upcoming week that we meet, the first time it's going to wind up being Noah, I'm going to do Bereshit. I'll do Bereshit. I'd rather, unfortunately, skip Noah and do Bereshit rather than skip Bereshit with Noah. Okay, so I'm going to do Bereshit. We'll be in Yeshaya. Okay, I don't see you before then. I have a Simu Sima Tova. Simu Sima Tova. Which you are. How are you doing? I forget to apologize to my father. He was here in December. I tried to get back to him. I got back, it was a very busy time. My son got married in December. And he just, like, it just, it's a law, you know, whatever. So, Oh, that would be the issue. If I'd known that, maybe we could have met in the middle of the night. But I guess I'll go anyway.
All's well that ends well.
What happened? People are going to get nervous
about porn stuff.
Really?
Yeah,
she's
upset.
Maybe
that's
what she's not
here
about. She's upset. Wait, that was it? That was for the war?
Thank you.
I can't. They could do well.
Thank you.
Oh. Oh. They could do well.
How
are you managing?
Oh,
so fine. You okay?
Yeah,
I've
always been
6 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
Much studying. Yeah.
Buddy,
yeah. I was looking forward to both of you coming back together. I'm sure you were also.
Yeah.
All right. Don't miss your mind. Mr. Shem, it'll all be good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Take care. I'll see you, Mr. Shem.